What makes up the universe? At first glance, this looks like a fairly easy question. The universe is made up of fundamental particles organized into countless objects, like planets, stars, galaxies, and all they contain. Add in some more exotic stuff like dark energy and dark matter, and you have a universe that is almost impossibly complex, consisting of innumerable elements. Or maybe, as physicist Heinrich Pess argues, the universe is just one thing, one unified whole. This perspective, called monism, has a long history and has the potential to help modern physics achieve the grand theory of everything it has been pursuing for decades. Heinrich is a professor of theoretical physics at TU Dortmund University in Germany. In his book, The One, How an Ancient Idea Holds the Future of Physics, he blends physics, philosophy, and the history of ideas to take readers on a mind-expanding journey. Here's Heinrich to share five of those big ideas.
Hi, I am Heinrich Pees. I am a theoretical physicist and the author of the book, The One, How an Ancient Idea Holds the Future of Physics. And I'm about to explain to you five main insights from my book that may change your view of reality. Insight one. There exists a hidden quantum reality behind what we experience. So what do I mean by hidden? And what does this have to do with quantum mechanics? If you look out of the window, you may see a street, cars, people, maybe a tree. But are these things the fundamental reality? Or are they more like what you make out of the fundamental reality? When Niels Bohr and Werner Heisenberg worked on the foundations of quantum mechanics in 1927 in Copenhagen, they stumbled upon exactly this question. What they realized was that the same things in nature, such as, for example, light, could appear both as particles or as waves. However, one can never experience both these aspects at the same time. Heisenberg's friend and collaborator Wolfgang Pauli tried to illustrate this finding by saying one could look at nature with two different eyes, seeing either particles or waves. But if one would open both eyes together, one would go astray. So is there a hidden reality that unified the experiences of things as particles or waves? Bohr, Heisenberg, and Pauli didn't think so. When they tried to make sense out of this, they came to the conclusion that what we see is real, and there's no underlying, more fundamental quantum reality hiding behind. According to this Copenhagen interpretation, quantum mechanics doesn't describe a deeper reality, but merely our incomplete knowledge of nature. For many years to come, this view became the orthodox interpretation about what quantum mechanics meant. The opposite position, that there actually exists a quantum reality, was advocated early on by luminaries such as Albert Einstein or Erwin Schrödinger, yet it remained the view of a few outsiders. But over the last decades, many hints emerged that the quantum reality behind our experience actually exists, and how our experience originates from this deeper layer of reality. These hints included the realization of increasingly large quantum systems, objects as large as a millimeter, or the proof of quantum properties of light over hundreds of kilometers, such as some of the experiments awarded with the 2022 Physics Nobel Prize. Most important, however, was the discovery of a process known as decoherence. We will come back to that later, that explains perfectly how quantum reality becomes what we see. Insight 2. This hidden reality is one unified, single whole. Now, if there exists a hidden reality beyond what we experience, what is it? If you ask me, it is the most remarkable thing one could possibly think of. It is one single seamless whole that encompasses and unifies everything one can see, observe, or measure in the entire universe. The reason for why I think so is the quantum process known as entanglement. Entanglement is a property of quantum objects that are composed out of smaller parts. The striking thing about entanglement is that while you may know everything there is to know about the composed system, you still may know nothing about the constituents. One of the pioneers of string theory, Leonard Susskind, has compared this to a mechanic who claims he knows everything about your car, but unfortunately can't tell you anything about any of its parts. "I know all about your car," he may boast, "but unfortunately nothing about the brakes or the wheels or the motor," the list goes on. The reason why this makes sense in quantum mechanics is that quantum objects are made of waves. As an illustration, picture a perfectly calm, glassy sea on a windless day. Now ask yourself, how can such a plane be produced by overlaying two individual wave patterns? One possibility is that superimposing two completely flat surfaces results again in a completely level outcome. But another possibility that might produce a flat surface is if two identical wave patterns were to be superimposed on one another, shifted in a way so that the wave crests of one pattern annihilate the wave troughs of the other one and vice versa. If we just observed the glassy ocean, regarding it as the result of two swells combined, there would be no way for us to find out about the patterns of the individual swells. Similar for composed granum objects, their constituents aren't really in a well-defined state. They don't really exist until we pin them down by experiment, thereby destroying the original whole. Insight 3. The plurality of objects we experience in our daily lives is a consequence of our perspective onto this undivided whole. But if all is one, why do we experience the universe as a plurality of things? The answer is a quantum process known as decoherence. To understand what happens when we observe something, we first have to think of the universe as split into us, the observer, the object to be observed, and the rest of the universe, the environment. During an act of observation, the observer interacts with the object, and at the same time, she interacts with the environment, as she can't be entirely isolated from her surroundings. These interactions lead to entanglement. But since the observer doesn't know the environment, after all, nobody knows the entire universe, from her perspective, the information stored in the environment is inaccessible. It is this inaccessible information that constitutes the glue that unifies the world into a single whole. So while the universe still remains an entangled quantum object in its entirety, from the viewpoint of the observer, it looks broken up, dissolved into many things. Fundamentally, the whole is not really destroyed. It is still one. It only looks destroyed from the specific perspective of the observer. Thus, fundamentally, individual things are an illusion. Insight 4. Such monistic philosophies are unpopular since they have been suppressed for centuries in the West. Now, if you are like me, you will think something like, this is a remarkable insight, but why have I never heard about it? So to understand why these monistic implications of quantum mechanics aren't more prominent, I started to explore the history of monism in the West, and what I discovered was this remarkable story that is just as exciting and dramatic as a Dan Brown novel. Monism, the idea that all is one, is often associated with East Asian philosophy or religion. So I was surprised to find that monism was actually quite common in the West in ancient times. There exists, for example, evidence that the Egyptians believed in a god that was all things, pervading everything, and early Greek philosophers, such as Heraclitus or Parmenides, wrote about an all-encompassing one. Plato, arguably the most influential philosopher ever, taught monism as a secret doctrine at his academy, to be disseminated only orally. For some time then, Platonism competed with Christianity to become the dominant worldview in the Roman Empire. As you know, Christianity finally prevailed in these struggles, but adopted Platonic ideas, identifying the one with God. But Christianity drew also on other influences, such as dualism, the idea that the universe is caught in an eternal struggle between good and evil. Just think of angels or demons, or heaven and hell. To make these conflicting influences consistent, God, also known as the One now, was pushed into an otherworldly beyond. God wasn't identified with nature anymore, but thought as opposed to nature. This also had political reasons. A God that is everywhere and pervades everything doesn't require a caste of priests as an intermediary for the believer to get in contact. And this caste of priests was the backbone of the political power of the church in late antiquity and the Middle Ages. So everyone who would dare to mix up God with nature or nature with a monistic one was prosecuted. People were condemned to be possessed by the devil. They were burned alive, their tongues were ripped out, remains were exhumed from graves and cast into unconsecrated ground. Yet still, monism resurfaced again and again. It inspired the art of Botticelli and Leonardo da Vinci, the music of Mozart and Beethoven, and the poems of Goethe and Coleridge, but also the science of Newton, Faraday, and Einstein. Still, the message the church wanted to convey, namely that religion had exclusive rights for the big picture and that science needs to be confined to filling out the details and producing recipes for problem solving. Scientists internalized that monism and nature, or monism and science, don't belong together. That the hypothesis that all is one simply isn't proper science. Insight 5. We have to take monism serious as a consequence of quantum mechanics to make further progress in fundamental physics. So why does it matter? Many physicists will think that all this may be true or not, but that it doesn't really matter. To them, physics means to develop mathematical models, use them to calculate things, and compare the results with experiment. It does just fine without any such metaphysical pondering. Fact is, it doesn't. Right now, fundamental physics is facing a crisis that forces us to rethink what we understand as fundamental in the first place. In our best theories, there are extremely unlikely coincidences that so far defy any explanation. And at the same time, the quest for a theory of everything is bereaving physics of its foundational concepts, such as matter, space, and time. If these are gone, what remains? So far, we have tried to understand the universe in terms of increasingly small building blocks. Things are thought to be made of atoms. Atoms are made of elementary particles such as quarks and electrons, and quarks and electrons may be tiny oscillating strings, according to string theory. In my opinion, it is time to rethink how far this approach is justified. It is time to take quantum mechanics serious and build physics on a foundation that is the entire universe, not tiny particles or strings. And indeed, there are innovative and promising new research ideas that explore what such a paradigm shift could imply for physics. Particle physicists are studying whether the physics of the very small and the very large objects may be related, and string theorists discuss whether space and time may emerge from a unified fundamental quantum description. To fully unfold their potential, it will be necessary to unveil and reflect on the philosophy underlying such approaches. Monism, the idea that at the most fundamental level, all is one. So this was Heinrich Peetz with 5 key insights from my book, The One, How an Ancient Idea Holds the Future of Physics. That there exists a hidden quantum reality behind what we experience. That this hidden reality is one single unified whole. That the plurality of objects we experience in our daily lives is a consequence of our perspective onto this undivided whole, that such monistic philosophies are unpopular since they have been suppressed for centuries in the West, and finally, that we have to take monism serious as a consequence of quantum mechanics to make further progress in fundamental physics. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Heinrich. That was 5 big ideas from The One, How an Ancient Idea Holds the Future of Physics by Heinrich Peetz. You might also like our book bite for Fundamentals, 10 Keys to Reality by Frank Wilczek. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a mind-blowing day.